lesson today is found in Matthew, chapter 1 of Matthew. And we're going to look at verses 18 through 25. And the authors have entitled our lesson, The Birth of Christ. The Birth of Christ. The Birth of Christ. What would cause people who are told otherwise to make their way to the house of God just to hear a story that they've heard all their lives, most of their lives? What would make? I would suggest to you that it is because they love the Word of God and they know that there is something to be found in each reading, each recitation, each meditation of God's Word. There is something that can be found. The Word is so old, yet so very new. So old, but yet so relevant. There's never a time when I would not want to study God's Word. That there are times when I'm tired and I don't feel like it, but it's not a matter of how you feel, it's a matter of your will. And you can do your will no matter how you feel. Oh, that's, somebody better help me today. Yeah, you know, I'm glad y'all came out here, because it's only in family church school that you can get the real deep down, bone chewing, jaw dropping explanations sometimes for that which is contained in the Word of God. And it is my job, my only job, to ensure that that is facilitated in a way that you would have a clear understanding of the verses that we're about to discuss today. And not only just a clear understanding, but we would further understand, Joe, the significance of this one essential doctrine. Y'all don't hear me. See, most folk wanted to hear Mary had a little lamb and his fleece was white as snow. Some wanted to hear away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the lowly Lord Jesus lay down his sweet. Some wanted to hear that. But here we run a church school. And in church schools, you educate. And barring storm days and catastrophes and organized disruptions, we have school. And so hopefully that's what we're going to do this morning. You join me? I should be fired if I don't enlighten you in some way. And if I don't enlighten you in some way, just blame my head, not my heart, because I sure want to do it. To share with God's people God's Word for this time. Because see, there is an essential doctrine to be here, to be taught here. Christmas is more than about gifts and getting and going and lights. Christmas is about, if it's about anything, it's about reflection and projection. Y'all don't hear me. Reflecting on how good God has been in that he wrapped himself in human flesh, came down here looking like his creation. A projection in that this same one that came down here wrapped in flesh, yielded that flesh to a watery grave and then got up and ascended back to the Father and is coming back again. Nah. He's in the manger, but remember, if he's just in a manger and there is no cross, there's no need for us to have disrupted our sleep. There's no need to not to have believed the report that this was not going to be. Because here's the thing, God is on the throne 24/7, and he has one job for the churchocentric church: do ministry. Amen. Edify the saints. Amen. Equip the saints so that they'll be ready without spot or blemish when he comes back. Y'all don't hear me this morning. We in school. So someone has got to ask the question, what's so important about the birth of Christ? Steve Harmon, he tried to get on it. You know, every now and then he meets with the Savior and he prays prayers that really make sense. Because I listened to his prayer, Harry, and I heard him say that who's gonna believe the report? Yeah. I heard him. Did you not hear? And see, Steve knows that next to John 1:1, that 53, Isaiah 53:1 is my favorite scripture. Because Isaiah it is very dominant in the lessons today. As you've noticed, and in the last week, Minister Nedrick should have reminded you that there is a stem of Jesse that is coming. The week before, I reminded you that Isaiah says that Emmanuel was on the way, meaning that God would be with us. I reminded you in the week previous to that, that a virgin shall bear a child in the city of Bethlehem. Oh, y'all don't hear me? We had these lessons incrementally to build you up to the day to show you the significance of the scripture. Now, let's just go back. If we did all that talking before, if we had to eat all the carrots and the broccoli and the spinach, can we not consume some dessert this morning? Well, the dessert is here. And it presents itself in the form of the birth of Jesus Christ as recorded by Matthew. Note one thing. Matthew is talking to the nation of Israel. And if you look in chapter 1 there, and in those first 17 verses, what Matthew does is try to trace the lineage of this soon-to-be Messiah king through the line of Abraham and David and that, yeah, Jesse, you know, we talked about Jesse last week, but Jesse begat David. Just to show that a king is going to be on the throne. So the significance of Jesus' birth is that, first of all, we see it right off the bat. It fulfills prophecy. Do you know over 300 prophecies of the coming Messiah are contained in the Old Testament? And then Malachi, Money Man, closes his chapter, and for 400 years, not one word. You don't hear the voice of heaven. You don't hear angels. You don't hear nothing for 400 years. And since Mark is written chronologically first, we first hear from Mark that he's a suffering servant. Because that was Mark's purpose. Mark wants to tell you that the Savior is coming. He's going to die for your sins. But Matthew wanted to tell the Jewish nation that help is on the way, that the promised Messiah is coming. And so when Jesus is born, as Pastor Brown likes to say, on the backside of Bethlehem in a barn, when he's born, it fulfills over 300 prophecies. Do you realize Isaiah prophesied that the virgin birth would occur 739 years before it happened? Oh, you weren't going to learn anything today. You can't get your money back. You don't learn something. 739 years. And then Matthew gets up there and says, you know, Jesus, that all our prophets been talking about him? He says, well, he's come. And you know what? It took 42 generations to get him here. And in this delineation of verses 1 through 17, you see the 42 generations. So whenever you hear Pastor Brown says he came down through 40 and 2 generations, know that he went to family church school also. You only get that in family church school. That they, you know, most people, Rob, they want to skip verses 1 through 17. Not realizing that that verses 1 through 17 delineates those 40 and 2 generations in groups of 14. Yeah, see, because what happens is that we see him trace from Abraham to David and David. We see him trace through the Babylonian captivity. Then we see him from the Babylonian captivity on. All those names represent those areas, those generations. And it does it through the line of Joseph. Ah, Brother Sneed, you have boxed yourself into a corner. No. No corner. Because any apparent contradictions, we know that one of the essential doctrines is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. If the virgin birth did not occur, we are wasting our time. Now, most people in the early century couldn't get a hold of that. And then they finally graduated to it, and now we're right back where we started. Many mainline churches don't embrace the dogma. The Catholic Church embraces it, and they embraces it to what I call extreme because of the last verse that we're going to look at today. But see, folks, the whole idea of Family Church School is to clear up what we hear over the pulpit and what we hear through Google. You have to be careful about Google.
Amen.
Google is not a ghost, and he's not the Holy Ghost. You have to study God's Word.
Amen.
Because the birth of Christ is one of the key doctrines of all Christianity. Because of what we know. We know that as early as chapter 3 of Genesis, God told you that he was coming. Chapter 3, right after the fall, is your first prophecy that he's coming. God himself is telling you that a Savior is coming. Got to, because man is lost. Man is a sinner. Man cannot save himself. Come on, Nick, help me out, Samson. He cannot save himself. He's lost. He's doomed. He's void of all divine content. And it says, we're all that way because all of us have sinned. And we've come short of the glory of God. And so we all need a Savior. And according to Matthew, he shows up right on time. When the world had done all the sinning it could do. I know y'all think it's bad. Now, I know you think this is the worst time in history, but I assure you that it is not. There are no new sins. Everything that could be done by man has been done by man, and now Jesus is coming to take all of that upon himself. And Matthew starts it off, Sister Brown, like this. The birth of Christ is like this. Isn't that what it says? Let's read verse 18, since we're in Family Church School.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
I see this is a trap right now. Because what we're about to see here is a crisis on the way. This is a crisis of epic proportion. One of the things that we have to deal with here is that here's a young girl. Her max age is 16, but more like 13. Okay? But here we go. She is betrothed. In other words, she's engaged. An arranged marriage since she was a little bitty girl. You gonna marry this guy. And I know they try to paint Joseph as some old man, but history, Josephus doesn't bear that out. because he was probably 20 at the most, but probably 19, most say. Okay? But they are engaged. And Matthew says the birth of Christ is like this. They engaged. Wait a minute. Am I reading this right? The birth of Jesus was like this. She was engaged. So that tells me that this lady is with child. And she's engaged. Now, when I was growing up, Sandy, that was an issue. You could be married and with child, but you engaged and with child? And when I was growing up, it was similar to this day. Because in that day, that didn't happen. They were engaged, but they didn't play footsies in grandma and grandpa's parlor. It was a legal obligation. And as a matter of fact, it was like being married without benefits. Oh, somebody better help me. Because it says, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Ghost. There's a crisis brewing here. Because I want every male in here, with the exception of Joseph JP, to change their name. I want everybody to call their name. Because here's the issue. I don't know too many men willing to buy into this. Mary knows what's going on, but Joseph does not know what's going on. She's engaged. She's pregnant. That's an issue. It's an issue unless you look at the very last clause. Who she's pregnant by? The Holy Ghost. Well, let me tell you something. I've been hanging around church folk all my life. All my life. Lived in Parsonage, so I've been around church. I was born right outside the Parsonage. All my life. Been in church. And I know church folk. And I especially know church men. Try to run this past a brother. You mean to tell you, we're engaged, but you are with child. There's a crisis brewing. I want you to read verse 19. Now listen. Wait a minute. I thought you were engaged. Because the espousal, the engagement was so legal, he could be referred to as husband. So he's literally a husband who has not touched his wife. That takes discipline, and it ignores at least one of the reasons for getting married. Okay? But this is the law. Understand one other thing, too. Mary has found this out. Joseph does not know. It has been confirmed in her life that she is on a mission. She is on a mission to deliver the Savior of the human race. And when you got a purpose, can't nothing thwart you. She done went back. She done told Joseph, this is the deal. And then the verse says, then Joseph, her husband, he was a what? And what? See, when you're facing a crisis, you know, the crisis is, you know, this girl's going to have a child. Out of wedlock. It has not been consummated. She has a legal obligation, but she's not a married woman yet. How bad does that make me look? Because the law says that she can be stoned to death. Can be stoned to death. I'm talking about dead, deader than dead. But did you also know that the law said that the man could also? Because he would be considered the one who did this thing to her. But the only way the man could be stoned was that if she cried out. Oh, y'all don't hear me. God is such an orderly God to have to rule and super rule under such unorganized and unorderly people. But God is not going to let his purpose be thwarted because you act a fool. Because you don't believe something. God has put this thing together because God is love, and that agape love is creative, redemptive goodwill for all men. In other words, God finds a way to get his will done. And here he's dealing with a crisis, but God is not dealing with it. Joseph is dealing with it because now he doesn't want to make his love a public spectacle. He's a man of character. And see, you know what? That's what crisis does, sis. Crisis will bring out the true character in you. Because are you going to do what's right? You call yourself a just man. You call yourself a compassionate man. You say you love her. You're going to turn her into the authorities and say, this did not happen. This did not happen on my watch. Stone her. Stone her, stone her. He didn't do it. But he agonized over it. He was in a quandary. He was in a true crisis. Crisis will always reveal your true character. Let's see if Joseph is a just man. Verse 20 says what? Whenever you're in a quandary, whenever you're in a crisis, don't do something irrational. Think about it, pray about it, and get in the Word of God. That's on any level. Folks, we introduce crises into our lives that we don't have to. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us what? A sound mind. He's given us you need to think about what you're doing. First of all, the first thing you need to do is think, then get in the Word, and then thank God. Because if you get in the Word of God, if you listen to the Word of God, you'll be all right. SOS from Sunday school. If you're in a quandary, if you're in a crisis, get in the Word. If something is bothering you, eating you up, you don't know what to do, that's why God has his Word. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He says, Lord, let your Word be a light and a lamp. In other words, that an illumination. Illuminate my mind and my heart as I go through this troubling time. And there's some troubling times, folks. This time of year can make you think that the world is just coming down on you. Bad news after bad news. You ask yourself, is there any good news? I'm here to tell you there is. The good news is the same news today as it was January 1st. This year, May the 2nd, this year, August the 3rd, this year. The good news can be found in the Word of God. And God will always show you, if you go to the Word, what your dilemma is and how to resolve the dilemma that you're in. I guarantee it. This boy went to sleep, and the angel of God, the angel of the Lord came to him and said, Son, You don't have to worry about this. Because that child that she's carrying is conceived by the Holy Ghost. I want to ask all of you at this time, you believe that? Oh, let me make it a little easier for you. For those of you who couldn't say, yes, sir. Because I've come to know there's some things you don't have to believe to be saved. This is why you need to come to family church school. Nobody running games on you. Do you realize what you need to believe to be saved? Is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he lived, died, and was resurrected. Now, if you believe that, thou shalt be saved. But let me tell you one thing. Once you are saved, you can't sit there and continue to ask for Enfamil and Similac and all. You got to get some meat on the word. You can't be touchy-feely all the time. I don't want nothing to offend me. I don't want to be touched. I don't want to be moved like that. The word of God is the power of God unto salvation. And the word of God, you've got to get down and dig it and say, look, Lord, I know that you're the Son of God. I believe that you died. I believe you were resurrected. But can you help me with this? That's what studying to show yourself approved. That's why you come to family church school. That's why you go to Bible study. That's why you have your personal. You don't neglect any of that. Because if you neglect one lesson, you might miss what you needed. This lesson today is for you to get you through the tough time. We family here. Oh, do you realize how many deaths have been recorded? That's just in the last 2 weeks. I mean, maybe you guys haven't been affected, but I have. I had a son-in-law who lost a brother at 48 years old. I was just informed yesterday, my best friend from Scott, Arkansas, my buddy in Vietnam, is dead. The doctors tried to give me a bad report just last week. Kept me out of the classroom. But bad news don't surpass. The good news is that Jesus the Christ was immaculately conceived by a virgin who had an encounter with the Holy Ghost and brought forth the word. That's some good news. I feel better already just hearing that. See, because the dying should not really make us sad. It is that the living, the coming into this world where men have no righteousness. They have no integrity. They don't have the love of God in their heart. They don't have a desire to meet on his word. I'm talking about meet on his word. I'm not talking about passing by, waving, postponing. That's what we should be sad about. But the issue is, I know a Savior who can resolve all of that. And Matthew says that he was immaculately conceived. And don't go too far with that. The Holy Ghost overcame Mary and produced the God-man. So which means that Joseph, the man who's in the dilemma, the man who's supposed to be receiving good news. Wait a minute. So you are telling me that ain't my baby. I thought maybe, you know, somehow, maybe one night I got in the wine being too much, and I just forgot. Hey guys, I'm just trying to be real. This is reality. It would have been no big deal in our day. So that's why Paul wrote in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, when the time was right. See, because today it wouldn't have meant nothing. It wouldn't have meant no confusion. It wouldn't have got in the word of God. People get pregnant every day. Oh, you know what? Y'all don't believe me, do you? Do you realize 40% of all first births in this country are out of wedlock. Want another staggering percent? You Afrocentric folk? 70% of all first births out of wedlock. So man, be a man of integrity. It wouldn't have been no, people would have been around beating their chest. No big deal. Wouldn't have been in no quandary. Wouldn't have gone to the Word of God because it wouldn't, they didn't have a problem. See, most folk don't think they got a problem until they think it's a problem. But Joseph says, I know the law. I know the predicament that I'm in. I got to slay down. I got to think on this thing. What happens when you lay down and your dream becomes a nightmare? Because this ain't no news here. You mean to tell me that I'm not? The angel says, keep on listening. Verse 21.
She shall bring forth a
what?
A son.
Not a daughter. But a son. And what? And you shall call him Jesus. You shall call him Yeshua. You shall call him the deliverer. You shall call him the Savior. You give him the name. But you're not the daddy. What do you do when the baby is not yours? What do you do when the baby is yours? What do you do when the baby is yours, but not yours? You listen to the Word of God. You do what just men do. You do what righteous men do. You listen to the Word of God, and you do just as He says. I want to show you something here. Now, this was all done that it might be. See, Deacon Newsom, they don't want to say it. They, you know what? They will not give Sneed his due for nothing. That Harriet Brown, she will not do it. I told y'all at the very beginning, it's so that Scripture would be fulfilled. In other words, you can count on God's word, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you, if you read it, understand it, absorb it, let it illuminate your heart and your soul, you can live by it no matter what. Yeah, times are tough. Yeah, you don't feel good all the time. Things aren't going the way that you planned. We's going to get married. Every time I do this lesson, I think about my friend, retired Chief Master Sergeant Willie Hayward. When he first got married, him and Roma Harry, he went down the flight line skipping. We's going to get married. We's going to get married. Willie tells that story. I believe it now. Because you know what? It's one of the happiest days of your life. But you know what? If you think anything ill about your bride, your spotless bride, there's an issue. That spotless husband, there's an issue. You're getting ready to go into crisis. So you need to go to Christ. You need to get in His Word, and you need to let the Word minister to you. That's how you deal with your crisis. Don't get on the phone calling your deacon. I tried to call deacons Thursday and Friday. I could not get them. I'm telling you, if it had not been for the deacon's wife calling me on a trip, I wouldn't have been able to have any contact with a deacon. Can't get a hold of him. But you know what? Oh, yeah. I'm coming at you guys. Oh, you wait till we get in the circle. Oh, no. Because let me tell you, there are times when you can't reach your best boo, your best buddy. I even forgot Nick's phone number. I was trying, man, but I know I've called Nick before. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Then I read, fret not because of evildoers. He said, look here, boy, you've been young. Now you're old. He said, but have I ever forsaken you? Have you ever seen the righteous begging bread? Ah, it changes your perspective. When you can get in that word when you're in your dilemma. Let me show you. It says, now all this was done to fulfill that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, verse 22, 23, I'm sorry. You told me you believed that. I just asked y'all, do you believe that? Y'all said yes. Why didn't they? Because now that which Isaiah prophesied in 9:16 and in 7:4 and 11 and Micah and Jeremiah is come to fruition. When you hear that word, you have now a responsibility to respond to that word. Don't stay in your crisis, your pity party, when you've got the word of God. You know better. You folk, you know better. Let me tell you something. Sometimes some things are so crazy in your life, in the life of this church, the life of this country, the life of this world, that you just have to close some things off and listen to God and say, God, if you don't tell me what's happening, if you don't give me a reminder of what you've done, what you're doing, and what you will do, I'll lose my mind. And that's why most folk do. This man, Joseph, would have lost his mind if he wasn't, first of all, a man of integrity, a man who was just, a man who loved God, a man who loved the word of God. Those are the things that you have to be to get through these crises in life. Oh, it's a crisis of epic proportion when he lies down. But I want to show you something. When you lie down and you think on these things, matter of fact, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever, what? Think on these things. God's not asking you to act irrationally. God's not asking you to just run. Matter of fact, he's telling you, oh, be still and know that I am the Lord. The only way you're going to be still and know that he's the Lord is that you got to get in the word. You know, you got to stay in the word. And you can't let people deter you from the word. You know, your people be, they'll call you, they'll text you, they'll email you, they'll come to your house knocking on your door late at night. I want to know what's, man, let me tell you one thing. I don't care about no Christmas lights. Here's what I care about. I care about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And right now, the only thing I'm concerned about is him being born. I want to further understand that. I want to fully understand, because this is an essential doctrine. Because if Jesus Christ is not born of a virgin, we've all missed the boat. We've all missed the boat. Don't ever let anybody talk you out of that. Don't ever let anybody tell you, oh, the Christmas story, we can just go together. Let's have some coffee and donuts. Let's not try to go through there. You need to understand that it was through the Holy Ghost, pure, holy in every word, God himself. God produced himself a man. Oh, y'all thought. Ow! You might not understand it now. You might not be in that level, but once you get and start meeting all of that out and you start seeing, man, look how God weaves this thing together and makes this thing work. He says, just like Isaiah told you, his name's going to be called Wonderful. Just like Isaiah told you, his name is Counselor. He's a Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The one that she's carrying. The one that's not yours. The one that you've been given a mission to raise. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of us going to have to raise stuff we don't own. I know, I've been in the vineyard 27 years and I've been raising a lot of stuff I don't own. a lot of stuff you can't control, but you've got to be the stabilizing force. You, God has assigned you. Don't you fall apart. Don't you forget God. You keep coming. You keep studying. You keep building yourself up and encouraging others, because you need to be an encouragement to other folk. How are you going to encourage somebody with your head hung down? There ain't nothing faithful about being head hung down. Faith doesn't look down. Faith looks up. Even the psalmist said, my faith looks up to thee, thy Lamb of Calvary. Because guess what? Jesus Christ is up. Jesus Christ ain't down. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Because one day this same baby who was born in a manger, who's called Wonderful and Counselor, Everlasting Father, ascended to the Father and sits there now and intercedes on our behalf. Some things you just got to believe. And some things you'll never believe until you read God's word, till you have a clear understanding of what it's all about and how it all fits together. Because this Alma, not just a young girl, as the intellectual linguists try to say, this virgin. Micah said she was a virgin. Isaiah says she was a virgin, born in Bethlehem. And you know, in that region at the time, there were two Bethlehem. Micah hit it right on the head. Which one? This is no joke. This is real stuff. The birth of Jesus Christ is an essential doctrine, that he did not have an earthly father, but he had a father. Y'all didn't get it. Did not have an earthly father. Could not have an earthly father. Let me tell you. I don't understand the intellectual, Sister Karen. I don't. You know why? Because if they read, they tell me that they believe Jeremiah's rendition over in 22 somewhere in there, where, you know, Jeconiah was cursed, and he said there would never be a king on the throne. And he said, well, wait a minute. I can read. Doesn't it say right there in Matthew? Yeah. But Joseph wasn't his earthly father. y'all didn't hear it. That's why Luke took another approach to it. Oh, you only get this stuff in Sunday school. But that's all right. Y'all go on to the pulpit, go on to the picnic, go on. Yeah, family church school, you're supposed to get this stuff. Finally, verse 7. Verse 24, I'm sorry. Want to start y'all all over. He heard it and he did it. Your crisis will continue if you don't do what the word says. and many of us are walking around in crisis, in dilemmas right now. You know why? We read the word. We understood it. We don't have no reasons. But we didn't obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Love your spirit, sister. A visitor whose relative attends Sunday school regularly, who evidently she attends Sunday school regularly and says, well, if they're having Sunday school, I want to be there. Well, I'll just go out there and see if they're having it. A visitor. How many of you residents didn't say, oh no, they said they ain't having it, I'll stay right here. But the word of God says, study to show yourself approved, a workman capable of handling this. The reason why you can't handle this stuff, you're still sleeping in bed during family church school. You're still napping at night during a Bible study. You still won't come to evangelism. You still won't avail yourself to the mission ministry and lunch with the Lord and any opportunity to study the word of God. But this boy, he heard the word. He got up. Oh, tell you what, that's some tough news. But you know what? I got a plan now. I understand God's purpose in my life. It ain't that I would father this child. It's that I would marry this woman and raise this child as my child. Oh, sometimes you have to do some heavy lifting. You didn't buy the product. You ain't bought one of those gifts, but you got to lift it up into the truck. He got up, and he did just as the angel said. But you know what? He didn't do it partially. That's what the birth of Jesus shows us, is that when you got a job, do it completely. Don't let people stop you from doing it completely. Because he could have got out there and his boys. I want y'all to hear this. Y'all read it because y'all won't trust me. I got a feeling that somebody in here don't trust me, JP. I want y'all to read verse 25 and then we're going. Did y'all understand those words you just read? They said he knew it wasn't his. And he knew in order to honor her, to honor God's word, he couldn't have any intimacy with her. And the word of God says he did just like the angel told him. Even calling him what the angel told him to call. That's complete obedience. Because Joseph was faithful, we now have a Christ born in Bethlehem, born of a woman, made under the law, not to subjugate, not to obliterate the law, but to fulfill the law. Because God is about fulfilling his word. Don't you worry that something God has told you has not yet come to fruition. Isaiah never saw the day. Isaiah was long off the scene. Ezekiel, long, Daniel, long, Micah, long off the scene. And here you are, you say, well, they didn't see it. Well, just because you don't see it don't mean God won't do it. There are things right now, I'm reaping blessings from the prayers and the requests of my grandmother. And she's been dead almost 35 years. More than 35 years. But she prayed. I'm seeing it done. I'm seeing the benefits of it. And you said, when will you see it? Well, I tell you what, I don't know. Some of them I see now, and you know, some of them will come to fruition, you know. But I know they will. You know why? Because this same one that's called Jesus, the Savior of the world, got up on a cross one Friday afternoon, died for your sin and my sin. And the only way he could do that is that he did not possess the blood of an earthly father. Just like God said so. He did not possess that blood. Because if Jesus Christ is just an ordinary man, his death doesn't mean anything. But he's more than just an ordinary man. He's Savior of the world. He died, and 3 days later. But I'm told, wasn't there. I'm told that Isaiah saw him in Abraham's bosom. And in Abraham's bosom, Jesus asked Isaiah the question, who are you looking for? And Isaiah said, hey, I'm looking for the one who was wounded for my transgression, who was bruised for my iniquity, the chastisement of peace was upon him. That's who I'm looking for. Abraham, who are you looking for? I'm looking for the author and finisher of my faith. Ezekiel, who are you looking for? I'm looking for the wheel in the middle of the wheel. And that same Jesus who was born on the backside of nowhere, in a barn, in a cave, here's what he said to Isaiah, who prophesied 700 years. Here's what he said to Micah, who prophesied some 733 years before. I am he. What you're looking for, you're looking at. I'm the same one that you prophesied about. You now see what you couldn't see fully some 700 years ago. The birth of Jesus is an essential doctrine because it renders to us that Jesus the Christ, the God-man, became man and that he was conceived miraculously
yes.
by a virgin and the Holy Ghost. God bless you. Thank you for your attendance.